Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's show, we'll be joined by Mark Cannon to look ahead to the All-Ireland Shield Masters final as Donegal take on Galway this weekend. Michael Kelly is clerk of the course of the Danny Gormley Memorial Knockout Hill Climb. That's on Saturday and Sunday. We'll hear all about it shortly. Plus, on the football front, coming up, Declan Boyle, former Finn Harps captain, joins us for our League of Ireland discussion this week as we look ahead to the games against Derry City and Finn Harps. Plus, we'll have more on this week's launch of Finn Harps entering the National Women's League, along with the Donegal and Inishowen leagues. It's all part of the Score programme here tonight on Highland. Just to remind you, it is, of course, a busy weekend on the club championship front with eight round four games taking place at senior level on Sunday. We have our dedicated GA show and podcast, The DL Debate with Brendan Devaney, which is available now on our website to listen back to. That, of course, is highlandradio.com. But we're going to start with football, and after a week's break due to the Cup, Finn Harps are back in action tomorrow night, Friday, with a trip to face St Patrick's Athletic in Dublin. Derry City, who moved up to second in the Premier Division standings on Monday, are also in action. They host UCD at the Brandywell. On this week's League of Ireland chat, I was joined by former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle. There's two trips to Dublin now in 9 days for Ollie Horgan's side, with Shamrock Rovers also at the Tallaght Stadium on Sunday week. Declan says it's going to be a testing period for Harps.
Two difficult games for sure. St Pat's form at home has been excellent, and we know how the form the Shamrock Rovers are in as well. So two big games, difficult to get points away on the road, but especially up in Dublin as well. So it's going to be difficult to get something out of the St Pat's game on Friday night.
Yeah. If you are going to get something from St Pat's, how's it going to come about, do you think, Declan?
Yeah, listen, in the Premier League so far this season, has been very evident that the team that scores first normally goes on to win the game. And that's crucial, especially away from home. So Harps will have to score away from home. And our form away from home hadn't been good this season. So it's very hard to see that happening. But, you know, you just never know in football, and you never know with Harps. Sometimes they can produce big results when needed. And against St Pat's, they're obviously looking for a wee bit of luck, a big performance, and maybe an underperformance by St Pat's on the day as well. It might help them as well. St Pat's, as we know, are pushing for Europe. And they're in fourth place, 8 points ahead of Sligo Rovers, and they look to get the third if possible and catch Dundalk or Derry City ahead of them.
Yeah, and in relation to Harps' recent form, obviously you watched them against UCD in Dublin at the Belfield. That was one of our feature games this season, and they were on the wrong side of the result, but they bounced back after that brilliantly, so they did. And they had the break in the Cup then last week, so maybe the break came at a bad time for Harps, did it, Declan?
Yeah, listen, come back to the UCD one. I mean, we chatted about it, obviously live, but the first half performance was excellent against UCD, and then just the game kind of went away from them a wee bit with the sending off and then the goal from Ed McCafferty, and then just sat in a wee bit deeper at UCD and we just struggled to break them down. And then you're thinking it's a big turnaround and it's going to take a massive push now for Harps to get a big result. And then we had the local derby against Sligo Rovers and then a big performance and a 3-2 victory, which was really pushed them 2 points ahead of UCD. So a big turnaround there in that game, and it was an excellent performance against Sligo Rovers and well-deserved. 3 points. So, yeah, a week's rest will help players that are picking up any injuries, gives them an extra week's rest. So you're looking at hopefully everybody fully fit and well. And we know Ryan Connolly is obviously missing St Pat's match after picking up 2 yellow cards against Sligo Rovers, and he will be a big miss for sure. But there's good replacements coming and we'll play against St Pat's. So the conference should be good, but you just never know in regards to how we're going to perform. You know, it's been very up and down this season, and we're producing good performances. But yeah, absolutely, good performance against UCD, didn't get the points, a really good performance against Sligo Rovers and got 3 points, so now can they go to St Pat's and get something out of the game, and a draw would be a big result for us.
Yeah, a draw would be a good point on the road. Just touching on UCD again, because Declan, we know we have to play them in the second last game, isn't it, the penultimate game at home. That could be probably the most important fixture of the season. come that stage of the campaign?
Yeah, listen, it's going to be an exciting run-in for sure. You know, we have 9 games left, and they're come very, very fast. Obviously, 5 away, 4 at home. We have UCD, as you say, second last match of the season. And what you want to do in that circumstance is you want to make sure that you're ahead of them, or at least you have a chance of going and leapfrogging and bringing them to the last game of the season, which is a way to draw the United, which is not a bad game to have last match of the season with all to play for. But yeah, listen, we have to make sure we start picking up more points and try to put a bit of distance between ourselves and UCD. We know they had a big result in the FAI Cup away to Galway, 3-2 victory for them. So they're still in that. So that's actually a good for Hearts, because they're playing more matches and they might pick up injuries and suspensions as well. So it might have a negative effect on them and the performance and results. But it's about Hearts and what we do. And obviously, we need to start putting the points along the way. But a home farm is probably our best blessed opportunity to go and win and get 3 points.
Yeah, as we head to the final 9 games, we've got 2 points ahead of UCD at the bottom, current in the playoff spot, Declan. Would you be confident that Harps will continue to hold that position?
Difficult one. You know, it's, you're thinking that the experience that both the management have and the players have, and you know, we have that experience of being here before, and that will help us in the running of the difficult match we have ahead of us. That should help for sure. You need a run of not picking up injuries and making sure that your best players are available and are playing to their maximum ability on the pitch, and that's going to be crucial. So suspensions will play a part in that, and picking up yellow cards and sending offs could have a detrimental effect going forward for some of the bigger games for sure. But yeah, listen, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be exciting for the fans. It's going to be nerve-wracking. It's never easy when you're a Van Harp supporter, for sure. And so it's going to be a really exciting running, and I'm looking forward to it, actually. But what we need to make sure is that we avoid the relegation and give ourselves an opportunity in the playoffs, which won't be easy either, with obviously Cork, Galway, Longford, Wexford, the teams around there are very, very good opposition. So, but it'll be difficult, but at least you have a chance of staying up. And the experience that we've learned over the last 4 or 5 years in regards to playoffs will help us, hopefully.
Yeah. Were you surprised by Mark Antony McGinley's departure this week, Declan?
Listen, I suppose it happens invariably. I suppose you're looking at it from point of view, Mark's been a good servant for the club the last 4 or 5 years. Has put in good performances, and obviously the new keeper came in and he was given the first choice, and so Mark thought it was time to move on, and I suppose it's part and parcel of football, and I don't see him closing the book on Harps, and maybe he'll come back in a later time, and we wish him well going to Letterkenny Rovers.
Okay then, moving away from Fun Harps, Derry City playing UCD this coming Friday night. Derry back in the second in the table, so it's second against bottom. You would expect Derry playing at home to take the points in this one, would you, Declan?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the last time they played up in the Brandy, well, I think Derry won very comfortably and scored a lot of goals as well. So, yeah, listen, Derry are in good form. They got a late winner against Shelburne during the week, a big deflection, and got them 3 points again. And, you know, they're looking to close that gap against Shamrock Rovers and try to push away from Dundalk. And with them wanting getting 3 points against Shelburne up in Dublin, Dundalk losing to Sligo Rovers as well, that helped. It's a big victory for them coming so late. So they'll make sure the momentum's going forward for Derry City. They'll be pushing hard to get to secure that second spot, and try to push Shamrock Rovers as far as they possibly can to get the first position. But yeah, listen, I'm expecting Derry City, with the squad of players they have, the form that they're currently in, I'm expecting them to get 3 big points, which will obviously help Finn Harps as well. And that's invariably, if we can get something out of the game, I don't see UCD getting 3 points or even getting a point up in that Brandywell. So if we can get something out of the game, it'll add to us and push a bit more distance between us and UCD.
Obviously, Sligo taking the points against Dundalk helped Derry. Dundalk will be looking for a response in their match against Shelburne now this weekend. But can Shelburne go to Oriel and cause problems? Can Damien Duffside pick up points there?
Yeah, they've been very good away from home. Their performances have been good away from home. They've beaten the top teams. So I don't, you know, Dundalk had a poor performance against Sligo Rovers overall, you know, bad result, 2-0 as well away from home. players sent off early in the game didn't help them their cause at 23rd minute. But they'll be looking obviously at home. They've been good at home. They've got big results at home, but so has Shelby been very good away from home. And they've sat in and they've been difficult to break down. And they've had teams in the counter-attack and they've done really good performances and got a lot of points so far away from home. So that's not a done deal. Dundalk might just scrape through that one, but I wouldn't be surprised if Shelburne get a result out of that game.
Yeah, and also on Friday night, Bohemians against Shamrock Rovers. There's this European distraction for Shamrock Rovers. Is this a good time for Bows to meet Shamrock Rovers? Because there's always huge rivalry between these two clubs. And in saying that as well, Declan, maybe if we go knock on to Sunday week, when Finn Harps go to the Talis Stadium to play Shamrock Rovers, during a European campaign, is it a good time to meet opposition?
I think it is. I think it is, especially if the European adventure is away from home rather than home, so there's a bit of travelling involved. It means they have more games, a higher intensity. When you have higher intensity games, you end up picking up more injuries from the squad point of view. So as well as that, a lot of squad that Shamrock Rovers have, which is very strong, but it means as well that with European games, they might rotate players in and out and rest some of their better players. You know, they're in a really comfortable position in the league. They have the squad, they have the quality, but definitely European games, it's very difficult for from coming back from a European game to get motivated for a Premier Division matches, even though they've done it so far. But you can be unlocked by some games, and Bows are looking obviously a big derby, as you say, massive rivalry between the supporters and the clubs. Keith Long getting the sack as well this week has added a bit more kind of flavour to the actual match, because they're obviously have no manager, so they'll be looking for a response and push Shamrock Rovers and try to get something out of that game as well. So yeah, it's a big game for both clubs, and both teams coming back from Europe, and obviously with Bows losing their manager Keith Long, so the players will be looking to get a response and show them that, you know, they are a good team and they have good players, and losing the manager hopefully won't have a negative effect on their performance.
One other tie to be played on Saturday, Sligo Rovers taking on Drogheda United. Declan, I suppose Sligo were enjoying their European experience, and it's back to that point, what happens when you go out of Europe and how you respond. It's sort of been a rocky road for Sligo, but they had that one against Dundalk. Will they be looking now to build now over the next number of weeks and build in that result against Dundalk and start picking up points again?
Yeah, listen, that's what they're going to have to do. I mean, John Wilson's fully aware that's... he needs to get results. There's 8 points between them and St. Pat's, and St. Pat's are sitting in fourth, so Sligo Rovers are in fifth. So they need to get points to close that gap and hopefully secure maybe the fourth spot and maybe European spot, because they had an unbelievable experience with Europe this year. It was great for the club, great for the players, great for the supporters. And what it does is it kind of whets your appetite to get it year after year. It also helps your budget for the following year. You have a bigger budget to work off, so you can bring in better quality players. So, yeah, they'll be pushing for Europe. You know, there's a lot of games to play still, a lot of points to be played for, and you know, St. Pat's are in the driving seat at the minute over Sligo Rovers in regards to points and where they sit on the table. But Sligo will need to start winning games and getting four or five matches back-to-back. And I suspect that they'll get 3 points at home to Drogheda United on Saturday night. Just the simple fact, Drogheda haven't been great away from home. They've been better at home. And Sligo come into a wee bit of form as well.
There you go. That's Declan Boyle joining us on our League of Ireland chat. And we will have live regular updates from that Pat's Harps game tomorrow night at Richmond Park in Inchicore in Dublin. Conor Breslin will be reporting for Highland Radio Sport, and kickoff time is at 7:45. A blow today for the Ulster Senior League with the news that Monaghan United have withdrawn after just one season under the USL umbrella. Only 5 teams will now be contesting the forthcoming season. Ulster Senior League Secretary Niall Callan told Highland Radio Sport earlier that the committee are very disappointed that Monaghan have opted to leave the league. The 5 remaining teams in the league are champions Coghill Celtic, Bunnaghy United, Letterkenny Rovers, Finn Harps and Derry City. The new season, of course, starts this coming Saturday with Letterkenny and Bunnaghy meeting in the League Cup. There's a number of matches being played tonight in the Donegal Junior League. In the Brian McCormick Cup Gweedore area, Kilmacrenan Celtic are playing Cranford FC, while in the Voodoo Venue Cup area 2, Donegal Town Reserves are in action
against Drumbar United. And there's full programmes of fixtures on both days in the Donegal Junior League this weekend, with further area games in the Voodoo Venue Cup on Saturday, all starting at 1 o'clock. And likewise on Sunday, there's a full programme as well in the Brian McCormick Sports Cup in the four areas on Sunday afternoon, as junior soccer, of course, returning with a very busy schedule. The first series of games in the new Premier Division in Inishowen are taking place this weekend. The defending champions Greencastle are taking on Aileach. Glengad will go to Coghill. Illis Celtic play Buncrana Hearts, and Mavill Celtic will meet Kildaff FC. All those games start at 2 o'clock. There's also matches in the 1st and 2nd Division in Inishowen on Sunday as well. Now, the future of women's football in the county was given a major boost this week with the news on Tuesday evening that Finn Harps, the Donegal Women's League and the Inishowen Women's League have come together in a new partnership. The agreement will see Finn Harps Academy compete in the EA Sports Women's Under 17 and Under 19 National Leagues. We'll hear from Head of Women's Development at Finn Park shortly, that is Paddy McDade, and Breed McGinty of the Donegal Women's League. But first, Finn Harps Head of Academy, Kevin McHugh, has been telling Ryan Ferry that it's a landmark moment for girls and women's football in the county.
The three parties would have came together about a year and a half ago now. And once we got the ground, everything established, and everybody seen what direction we were looking to go. And the main thing was, we put the player at the centre of everything we done. Absolutely everything, every decision we made, whether it be it structures, gear, setup, coaches, everything was all centred around the player and what was best for the player. And once everybody established that and accepted that, then it was a seamless process from last year to here tonight. And it is a landmark moment for women's and girls football in Donegal. And now as a club, in our 68-year history, we've been offering men's football, boys' football, from schoolboy football right up to the senior team. But now, for the first time ever, we're actually able to offer school girls an opportunity to represent Finn Harps Football Club on the national stage. So all the work that has gone on the last year and a half is well worth it. When you see the reception tonight, you see the crowd that turned up for it, you can see the passion for the women's game in Donegal. And it's an absolute credit to the Inishowen Women's League and the Donegal Women's League in particular on what they've done to progress the game to this stage. And you can hear by the FAI speaking there tonight as well. It's fantastic stuff. And they can see the work that has gone on. So a huge credit to them. And hopefully we can add to the brilliant work that they've got to this stage with. And also, it's not a case of us just entering in women's under 17s and 19s and moving on. We firmly believe, we've set up a steering group that we will work alongside the Donegal Women's League and the Inishowen Women's League to further enhance their structures. We'll share resources. Will there be a coach education and everything else that goes along with it? So it's when you see it on paper, you're thinking that looks really strong, and it is a three-way partnership with the GAT, feeding girls in to the one pathway is exciting, and it's brilliant for us as the senior football club in the county.
Yeah, the Donegal Women's League have been entering an under 17 and an under 19 team in the National League in the last couple of seasons, and they've done great work, Trojan work, to be fair. But can Finn Harps, now under the umbrella of Finn Harps, can they push that on even further?
Well, that's the ambition. Obviously, you know, it's probably well documented about our boys' academy and what we're trying to do. We try to improve our structures and setups year on year. Things mightn't work out certain years, but there's years it does work out. And I'm sure we're going to absolutely put the same energy and work ethic into the girls, 17s and 19s. So, we would like to think we can help the girls progress further, with the resources we have. And again, it's not going to be just us. There's going to be huge involvement from the Inishowen delegates and the Donegal Women's League delegates to help us drive that as well.
We've seen other League of Ireland clubs really push the women's football over the last couple of years. Is this where clubs in this country have to go? Do Finn Harps have to get on board with this and really push it? Because as you've mentioned, the women's game is really growing. We're seeing huge numbers going to watch our international team, and there's huge progress being made, even with participation levels.
Yeah, absolutely. As a club, there's no point in lying. When we look around the leagues and see teams and the girls teams representing the clubs, we do look at it and go, yeah, that has to be us. We have to get involved in this. The women's game has grown year on year, and the opportunities now for girls is unbelievable. Between full-time football in this country, full-time football in England and elsewhere, you see girls signing for teams in Spain and America. So the opportunities are there, and it's brilliant for us as a senior club to provide that platform for them to go and excel. And hopefully we can produce players for the future and play our part. Because, again, that's our job. We're in a modern world. Yes, we're helping boys progress, but now we've got that. For the first time ever, I can say it, that we're going to help girls progress as well, you know.
Paddy McDade is the head of women's development for Finn Harps. Paddy, there's a great buzz here in the Radisson this evening. Great excitement about this new partnership between Finn Harps, the Donegal Women's League, and Inishowen Women's League. I'm sure it was a lot of hard work to get it over the line, so I'm sure you're delighted to see it here, get it this far today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was June 2020, during the lockdowns and whatnot. I had a lot of meetings online with Brie McGinn, in particular from the Women's League, because obviously they'd experienced the National League and they were putting in the effort to it, and they were bringing in some players from Inishowen as well. But, you know, it's a hard thing to run. They're travelling to the country, there's a lot of finance involved, and there's a lot of people to involve as well. So we thought the time was right to get involved. Kevin McHugh's done an outstanding job with the Boys Academy, and we wanted to try and roll that model out with the girls, but it's very different at the same time. And what I mean by that there is that, you know, I want the pathway for the girls is the key to all this here. So there's a lot of young girls now playing with their clubs, and then they go on and play with Donegal Women's League or play with Inishowen Women's League. I want to leave them where they are and let them go play their Gainer Cups at under 15, for example. And after that, then, we're looking then to basically they'll pass on the really baton to us, and we'll try and develop it even further, but that they're still part of the process and they're together with everything we're doing. And that's very, very important. That's key for the girls. And to make them know that they're part of it, because they've been part of the girls' journey from whatever age, 6, 7 years old. But we want to see them to be ambitious, and that those girls will come back and play at National League level, or these girls will come up and even watch these girls playing. And who knows, down the line, there could be a Finn Harps ladies team, and that would be the ultimate goal for Finn Harps.
Yeah, you've been coaching at in the Finn Harps Academy. You've been involved with some of the National League teams. You've also been involved with the Donegal Women's League underage sides. Was this something that you felt was just a little amiss, and that you felt that it should all come under the one umbrella, or where did the idea generate from, really, Paddy?
I suppose my thoughts on it were when Kevin McHugh asked me about my thoughts on coming in and doing the girls, because he knew I had developed a team at Illustrin, and we got momentum over the years. We built up some great teams there, and it wasn't just even that we eventually were winning leagues or cups. It wasn't about that. It was about developing players that could play on the pitch, that understood the game, and that's the important one for us. So it was. So I think my idea really came from the fact that I was working with Ulster schools. I worked with them in the past, so I had, when the likes of Keogh Grant and players like that coming through, and I just felt working with them again is the first time where you actually did bring Inishowen Women's League players and Donegal Women's players together through the schools. And there's a lot of good working on the schools as well. But we just felt that they come together for that tournament, and that was it. It was a very short window. And I just felt that that's something that could be progressed. That once they played together under 15s, then the next step then was, why not just bring them on in then to under 17s is the natural progression for their pathway. And some will and some won't, and some will go in different directions, but we want to have that pathway for them. And I think it's something that we can build on. And I think there's a great buzz tonight, as you said, because people see that pathway clearly, and they know that it can be successful. And, you know, it's up to the players. There's opportunities there now for players. Maybe players that haven't seen those opportunities, but they're there now for every player that wants to be part of this, and the parents will drive them on as well. So it's a big project. We have the new chairman at Finn Harps, Ian Harkin, has done a fantastic job. He's got new, fresh ideas, and I think that's going to help us as well to make this a reality. And we will apply, obviously, next year to be in the league. That's the first thing. There's good to have people down from the FAI here today, Will Clark and Pat Duffy. Fantastic people here. We've got our own local people, Shane Barr, Brian Dorian here as well. So I have no doubt they'll come in and they'll give us as much help as they can as well, because they can see the progressions as well. I'm a PE teacher in Snorlar. I run a sports PLC course. There's students there who want to go out and teach and coach. And so that's an example of where we can actually link with the community and make sure that we get coaches out there. There's some great coaches out there as well. We have to improve the coach education, and people have to realise that they have to get on that ladder as well. Because not just for their development, but it's mainly for the players' development. They need to have that knowledge that they're driving all in the one direction.
I'm joined here by Breed McGinty of the Donegal Women's League for this historic partnership with Finn Harps and the Inishowen Women's League. Breed, what do you make of today's developments?
I think it's very exciting for everybody involved. The resources and the structures going forward for the girls, which has to be paramount in everything going forward. The pathway is going to be established. It'll be clear so that the young girl at 5 and 6 coming into the local club now has the aim to go on and play for Finn Harps at a senior or 19s National League level. The resources that Finn Harps have behind them, I know majority of them is volunteers, but they have resources that will benefit the girls' football.
Yeah, the Donegal Women's League have been doing Trojan work in recent years in the National League. The Donegal girls have competed superbly against teams from all over the country, and that work will continue, just perhaps under the Finn Harps banner now.
Yeah, under the umbrella of Finn Harps. I think it's 4 years since the Donegal Women's League first entered the National League. We have limited resources within our committee. It's a small number of volunteers out on a weekly basis, and we've done the best that we can. But to progress and develop the girls' football, under the umbrella of Finn Harps, they have the structures, they have the infrastructure, they have so much more resources that they will help develop the girls. As you said, Donegal Women's League have developed the girls at 10 elite level. We compete every year at the highest end. We're in the elite phase the last 2 years. We weren't put it down into the lower section. So it just shows that the talent is in Donegal, but it's to reinforce that and get a better pathway for the girls going forward.
Yeah, because the women's game in this country is growing and growing all the time. We're seeing it. We've seen a couple of the Donegal girls have got international recognition in recent years, which is great. And that should drive even more interest going forward.
Yeah, like even this year, some of our 70s, like we have a 15-year-old in an international team through Orla Doherty. Jodie Loughery's in it, Kerry Loughery's in it. Emma Doherty went on this year and signed for Sligo senior team. But in the next 2 years or whatever, we want them players to stay in Donegal, play for Donegal once they come out of 17s, 19s, that we have a senior team that we can retain the players that we've developed from 5 and 6 so that they play at senior level within the county.
And we see so many parents here of the footballers this evening in the Radisson Hotel. How important do parents have in this role now in promoting the game and seeing that there is that proper pathway there now for the young players?
With the logistics of Donegal, players are coming from all over. We have players from Inishowen, Mallon, Buncrana. We have players from Gidor, Fannett. Like the logistics, Donegal is a big county. And for all players to be supported, the parents have to support them, because otherwise how do they get to training? How do they get to matches? So they have to be proud of their girls' achievements. Like before, boys could achieve this and it was just second nature, whereas the girls now are getting this recognition. Parents are supportive behind them to push them on, which is a big benefit for the girls.
That's Breed McGinty finishing that piece on Finn Harps entering the National Women's Leagues at under 17 and under 19 level. We now turn our attention to motorsport, and over 100 drivers and cars will be racing up Knockalla this Saturday and Sunday in the Danny Gormley Memorial Donegal Hill Climb. After a 4-year absence, the event is back with massive interest, so much so that the Donegal Motor Club had asked Motorsport Ireland to extend their regulation entry cap. The best of the sprint runners in the championship will be at Knockalla this weekend, along with a large contingent of local drivers. Michael Kelly is Clark off the course for the hill climb, and he says there's great excitement ahead of the return of the event.
Oh, definitely. I've seen a real buzz about this one now. And as I say, over 100, we have over 100 entries the 2 days. And Motorsport Ireland, their rounds is limited to 85 entries, and we had to go to them and ask them, could they let us run 100 cars, because we didn't want anybody missing out. in the absence of had been for the last 4 years. So thanks to them and the Hull Climb Commission that they gave us the go-ahead to run 100 kilometres each day.
Yeah. Was it a surprise to you when you seen the number of entries growing so quickly?
A bit of a surprise that we exceeded 85, but then there's a lot of interest, the fact that it's in memory of Danny Gormley as well, and we have renamed it the Danny Gormley Memorial Hull Climb. And I suppose people started to talk about it, and then we got a bit of a committee together, and we have a good team there now, and we're confident that we can run the 100 cars up the hill each day, no problem.
Danny would be impressed with the 100 cars going up Knockalla, so he would.
Danny would definitely be impressed.
Yeah, he would have surely. A man that put on Trojan work for the hill climb from day dot.
Well, as long as I'm there, I would say 15 years, and Danny has been there long before me, but Danny was Hull Climb Rally clubman to the core, just.
Yeah, yeah, and he will be missed this weekend, but you guys are going to try and put on the best show possible to remember him.
Well, we're definitely going to try to put the best show on in Donegal for him for the weekend, definitely.
Yeah. Who's coming then this weekend? Who can we expect to be chasing up this hill?
Well, there's a lot of men that come there every year. You have men coming there now, and real high-powered Mark II Eskers, like Sir Jared O'Connell from Dungiven, Rory Stevens there. He has got a real high-powered Mark I Eskert. They would all be specifically built kind of for hill climbing and sprint. And then you would have like Sir Russell Stanworth, Ben O'Brien, boys like that there that are all competing in the championship at the minute. And they would be all in single-seaters and stuff like that there. There's a real mix of stuff. And then you would have our own club men and different classes and different cars and that. But a real, real good mix of stuff across the board. Like,
yeah, 1.33 kilometres is the distance. The record time, 36.78 seconds, if I'm right, Michael. Sylvie Mullen in a gold was the man who was quickest there. I know it's going to be wet on Saturday. Don't know what the weather forecast is Sunday. Is it achievable for these guys that are coming, because you've got the cream of the Irish and the Northern Ireland Championship and hill climbing coming here this weekend? Can that record be broke?
The record can be broke, but I would say it needs to be dry.
Yeah.
But I would say that because that record stands since 2012.
Is there a while?
It's there a while, and it's only, if you look back through the records that we have, it's only seconds.
Yeah.
It's like there's no massive difference on the times. Maybe there's maybe four or five boys there down through the years that wasn't up and around that at maybe 4 and 5 seconds.
Yeah,
but he just got one real good run, and he holds the record.
Yeah, and the first thing that you have to overcome is Will Hare's corner. We've all talked about Will Hare's on Knockalla from an international rally point of view, but it's got its name from the hill climb. Is that correct, Michael?
It's got its name from the hill climb from the 29th of August in 1970 at 5:30 p.m. was the day it was christened.
Yeah,
I was talking to PG there last week, and I went down to see him, and I spent 3 hours with him, and I got the full story and the full rundown. So we have a program printed for that there, and we have a nice piece about that in the program, and we have a nice piece about Danny, and we have a lot of associated sponsors, and we have three main sponsors for the event as well, who are DMG Motors, CBM Signs, and Kelly's Toyota.
Yeah.
So a big thank you to anybody that helped us in any way.
Yeah. I'll tell you, if PJ got a euro for every time I just tell that story, he'd be brave and wealthy at this stage, wouldn't he?
I gave him an important job for the weekend. Yeah. I asked him, would he come over and start the cars for me with a checkered flag?
And so, did he take you up on it?
He did, no problem.
Brilliant, brilliant. So PJ will hear me back at the bottom.
PJ will hear me back 50 years later.
There's a lot of work going into this, Michael. So you have a big team behind you?
Big team behind us, very good team. New faces as well, which is great to see. And just we had a few meetings there, 3 or 4 meetings before it, and we delegated the jobs, and every man was quite happy to do them, and we have the whole thing basically more or less ready to run. We'll get down there on Friday afternoon, say from 1 o'clock, and we'll set it up, and we'll try and make life as handy as possible for Saturday morning, so that we don't have much work to do, that we can just get the car sorted and get them to the start line and hopefully have a good, safe day's motorsport.
Yeah. Rounds 11 and 12 of the championship. What's the schedule then for the 2 days, Michael?
The schedule is scrutiny at the Hull on Saturday morning from 7 o'clock to 9:30. And then there'll be the driver's briefing then after that. And then the first car practice run, 10:30. And then hopefully first time run, 11:45. And then we'll be hoping that we, if we had everything running right, that we would be hoping to get maybe four timed runs. And if we managed that, we'd have 500 cars through the start lane.
Yeah, that's a lot of cars.
So I don't think that would be a bad feat for the day. We'll definitely give ourselves a pat on the back if we can do that.
Yeah, I know that the time intervals in rallying, but in the hill climb, do you wait till the man's finished at the top before you release another one, or is it?
No, the one beauty about Knockalla is the man at the top can see the whole hull right to the bottom.
Mm.
And at any one time, we could have three cars in the hull. We'd have one leaving the start, one exiting the chicane, and one going through the finish at the top.
Right.
And if you can run it like that there, you'll have no bother getting four timed runs for the day.
Yeah. So the day will fly in. So well, if you're putting that many cars on the hill of Knockalla at any one time, and it'll be a good spectacle for the spectators. Get your spot good and early.
Definitely get your spot. The entrance to the hill for spectators is from the Port Salon side, from the main road in, and the car park in the field, walk over through the pits, and we have a bus running as well to take people up between the runs. So for a small fee, the people can be taken up the hill to the spots, and if we can get everybody in and quick time, get sorted out, get it turned around and get the runs done, and there'll be no bother getting three or four runs.
Yeah, so big weekend of motorsport ahead once again down in Knockalla. We mentioned earlier, Michael, about the guys coming that will be off the championship, but we can't forget about the club men. There's going to be a lot of them, a lot of Donegal men that'll want to impress at the weekend.
Yeah, there are a lot of boys come there over the years and supported us every year. In fairness, you'd have boys there like Gary Lockard, Willie McFadden, Ernest Stewarton, Kerry Keelan, this Hellman Hunter, a real good mix of stuff. And then you'd always have a couple of novices that would maybe their first time to do it. So
Do you get many of the boys from the rally and changed over to the hill climb coming for the sprint? Do you get much of an influx from them?
You would get maybe, I think they're maybe on our entries this year, maybe we have maybe the guts of 30.
Yeah.
So it's a nice mix.
Nice mix, and they're quite happy to get back out racing again.
I think that's one of the things why it is so busy. Every man's garage has been sitting on the jacks in the shades maybe this last 3 years, and now we're ready to go. Where can we go, or where will we go?
Well, listen, the very best of luck with it, Michael. Enjoy the weekend. Hope you have that safe one.
Thank you, Oisin.
Michael Kelly, COC of the Hill Climb this weekend, and we wish everybody involved the very best of luck. Good to see it back after a four-year absence. Now we turn our attention to Gaelic Games, and I'm sure as you heard on our sports bulletin earlier today, Michael Murphy says whoever takes over the reins as the Donegal football manager will be taking on an exciting job, but it's not for him just yet. The county board are currently working through the process of replacing Declan Bonner, but all information in regards to the applicants, nominations and selection committee have been kept under wraps. Earlier today, it was reported that former Ulster winning manager with Monaghan, Malachy O'Rourke, was not interested in taking up the job. It's understood that the initial interviews for the post have already taken place this week. Speaking on today's Around the Northwest with John Breslin, which was at our outside broadcast unit at Michael Murphy Sports as they celebrated their 8th birthday celebrations, Michael told John that he was not looking to take the job.
I definitely won't be taking charge of the team, we can say that for sure.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. No, definitely not.
But you wouldn't rule it out on down the line.
No, well, never know. Never say never, but listen.
Just not right now.
Huge, huge undertaking. Definitely not right now. It's a job. It's an exciting job for somebody else at a stage of life where they can take it on. You know, huge belief in the in the quality of player and the quality of squad we have here in Donegal. And I know there's no manager in place yet, but I know it will be an exciting job for someone, and something that somebody at the right stage of their life is willing to take on. And look forward to seeing who that person will be, and rowing on behind as best we can, you know.
That's Michael Murphy. Well, there is an All-Ireland Masters Shield final involving Donegal this coming Saturday. Galway is the opposition. Killooney in County Sligo is the venue for the tie, which starts at 3:30. Donegal Masters, of course, looking to end the season with an All-Ireland title. Their player manager is Mark Cannon, and he's been speaking with Tom Comack.
Well, Mark, back in another Shield final. I know you'd probably prefer to be in the Division 1 final, but nevertheless, good to be back in the Division 2 and bidding for back-to-back titles.
Yeah, I suppose, Tom, you'd love to be in the Division 1 final all right now, but at the end of the day, an All-Ireland final. And there's not too many people about Donegal can say that they've played in All-Ireland finals for Donegal, so I suppose we've quite a few now that played in the Shield final last year, and boys will be looking to get the two medals now. It would be something nice for them to have. I suppose when you get to our age, any game is a bonus, but an All-Ireland final is definitely an extra special one for us all.
And tell me, have you got many of last year's team?
Of last year's squad now that played now, I suppose we would probably still have got maybe 15 or so of last year's squad, and maybe still involved with, you could be talking maybe, well, depending on the day, you could have anything from maybe 5 to maybe 10 of them boys starting in the team. So I suppose it just really depends on who we have at the weekend and what shows up.
And of course you've taken over the manager's bib from Liam Breen.
Liam Breen.
Yeah. So, and still player manager.
Still trying to play a wee bit now. It was easy enough in the league stages to get a bit of game time myself now, but I suppose when we hit the playoff against Dublin and even the semi-final against Kildare, just it makes it that wee bit harder to kind of get game time for yourself. And I suppose the way I'm looking at it, I'm suppose more useful to the team at the minute on the line than on the field. So I'm getting plenty of club football at the minute, so I'm still getting football, so it's not too bad.
And tell me, what, you played 10 games, won 8 of them, so I know you lost probably the two big ones to the two big teams that played in the All-Ireland, Tyrone and Dublin.
Yeah, we lost the two big guns, I suppose, at the start of the year. If you'd have sat down and said that you're going to go 10 games and you're going to be beaten by Dublin and beaten by Tyrone and you're going to beat everybody else, you'd be more than happy with it. You're looking at, I suppose, the setups that both of those counties have. For us in Donegal, the Masters, it's very enjoyable and, you know, it's competitive, but at the same time, we train one night a week and the boys train with their clubs and they're still playing with their clubs. The likes of Tyrone and Dublin and them guys, they're training two nights a week and they have their trainers in and they have physios on call full time. And, you know, there's even talk of the Dublin guys having a dietitian on board as well for keeping them right with what they're eating. So, suppose you're up against what you're up against, and it's a bit like the championship in general in the country for the senior football teams. Some teams have more backing than others, and we're very thankful to the backers that we've had this year, and we've had quite a few. But again, you've just got other teams that seem to have bigger guns in behind them. But look, we're not going to complain. We are where we are. We're quite happy to be where we are in Division 2, and we're not going to lie back when it comes to the ball thrown in at 3:30 on Saturday. We're going to be going hell for leather to try and take that Shield back up the road again with us.
Well, I suppose after the defeat by Dublin and Tyrone, you bounced back with that big win over Kildare. That was very pleasing.
It was very pleasing, surely. Like, we played Tyrone and we would have had a couple of injuries, and we played Dublin, and no more than Dublin themselves when we played them. It was the first week, I think, of championship football in Donegal, and we were down quite a few players, and it was the middle of the holiday season and the whole lot. So, you know, the squad was quite depleted against Dublin. Like, we would have had maybe 22, 23 players is all we had that day. We played Kildare then in the semi-final, and we had a panel of 29 players to choose from. So that makes a big difference, that you've got the players to choose from. Like, 60 minutes of hard-fought football when you're over 40 years of age can be tough to keep it going. So when you have the subs, and with the rolling sub system, any man that looks tired, he can come off for a rest for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and you can put a man in to take his place, and then you can swap about as needs be. So suppose that's what definitely helped us against Kildare. We had the bodies, we had the extra men. I suppose we had a lot of boys back from holidays as well too. It was definitely a big plus.
And tell me, you've added a couple of fresh faces this year, a couple of young lads.
A couple of young lads, if you can call young lads now, all right, when you get to our age now, like, suppose you've a few good additions coming in there. You've got Conor McShane, both former fullback for Kilcare, like, you know, coming in, he's a massive addition to the squad. You have Patrick McNulty as well coming in. Paddy would have played for McCoolas for years. He's playing a bit of football up a bit of a yarn now. You know, so it's good to get boys like this coming in around the squad. Like, we've Martin Donaghy from Burt coming in as well to the squad now, another big addition. Suppose we've got a few extra men in this year, and they've kind of come in key positions for us, which is, you know, men with that experience and haven't played so much senior football, like, it's definitely going to be a massive help.
Mark Cannon, player manager of the Donegal Masters. Now, moving on to the Donegal Senior Football Championship. As we know, there's 8 fixtures down for decision in round 4 this weekend. Our feature match is Niamh Connell against Gweedore. We'll have live commentary from that game. I'll be joined by Brendan Kilcoyne at Davy Brennan Memorial Park in Glenties. That'll be our focus fixture. But we'll also have reporters and updates coming in from the other games as well. That's McCool's against St Eunan's, Bundoran versus Kilcare, St Noll's against St Michael's, Milford play Eirua, Ardra take on Glen Swilly, Glen Finn meet 4 Masters, and Clonhilly are up against Killybegs. So 4 teams in the form of Kilcare, St Eunan's and Gweedore, along with Eirua, have secured places already in the quarterfinals. Wins for Niamh Connell at home to Gweedore, Glen Swilly away to Ardra, and Killybegs in the road to Clonhilly will secure a quarterfinal place. St Michael's 4 Masters and McCool's would scrap for the last place with games against St Noll's, Glenfinn and St Eunan's. If Niamh Connell and Glen Swilly don't win, they could still make the quarterfinals on 5 points due to their healthier score difference. A first one of the year for Clonhilly, Glenfinn, Bundoran, Ardra, St Noll's or Milford would be enough to drag them out of the bottom 4 relegation playoff spots. So a lot to play for in the championship this coming Sunday. It's Super Sunday, and you will, of course, be able to follow all the action on Highland this weekend. There's also a number of crucial championship games being played as well at junior level in both the A and B championships as we head to the quarterfinal stages after this weekend. And on the ladies' front, the latest round of the senior championship is taking place here in Donegal. Round 3 matches. Termin are on the road to Inishowen. They go to Mavelle on Sunday. St Noll's take on St Eunan's, and Glenfinn will play Buncrana. There also is Junior A and B quarterfinals taking place as well for the ladies this coming weekend. In Derry, it's Senior Hurling Championship qualifying weekend on Saturday. Lavey will take on Owen Rua. Both matches, this game and the other match are at Slochnane. It's a double header. Kevin Lynch's against Swatra's the other tie. Those get underway at 3 and 4.45. Swatra's the venue on Sunday for the qualifiers. Banagher took on the Maha, and Slochnane are taking on Ballinascreen. Just finally, rugby fixtures as well for this weekend. Letterkenny will be looking to build on their good start to the season last week. They will play the PSNI in Ulster Championship 3. In Ulster Championship 1, City of Derry on the road as they go to Grosvenor. And in Premiership 2, Oma play their first home game of the year. They take on Dungannon. It's going to be another busy weekend of sport, and you can, of course, tune Highlands Way for all the action. That's it from The Score for tonight. If you missed any of the show, all you have to do is log on to our website, highlandradio.com. You'll be able to get all our interviews there. What's left of your Thursday, what's left of the sun, enjoy it. Have a very good evening.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.